Brother Paul, we need to work on that. Next meeting, we're gonna handle that. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. We're gonna talk about God's love for spiritual bastards, and I make no apology for plainness of speech. We live in a day and age where people will search the internet. They'll try to figure out what some preacher believes or what some church believes, and they're like, "Man, I don't know what they believe." Well, they won't have that problem here. You'll just get mad at what we believe here, but you'll know what it is. It'll be very clear to you, very plain to you what we believe. And this is scriptural, what I'm going to give you here. If it wasn't, I wouldn't give it to you, but it's absolutely scriptural. And I think there's some things about God's love. You know, I always see those memes and stuff on Facebook, and people say, "I don't think you keep saying that word, but I don't think you know what that means." And there's people out there, they keep talking about God's love, but I don't think they know what that means. So I'm going to show you today what the Bible says about God's love, what God said about his love, because these people, they're trying to give you the love of the God that nobody hates, not the love of the God in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. It's destroyed our families, too, because fathers and mothers and children, and they're not following what the Bible says love is. They've got this giddy fondness for their children and their families, and it's not biblical love. They wonder why everybody's going to hell. Well, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Because they don't understand what God's love is. Friend, most people think God's love is accepting your sin. That's God's love. God loves everybody. Like that guy that was preaching the gay gospel to Brother Paul. God loves everybody. I got that guy. I can almost imitate him now. Scary, isn't it? But he said God loves everybody. No, not true. Because God doesn't throw people he loves in hell. You wouldn't throw your son in hell, would you? No. Of course not. He put his there, though. He led captivity captive, gave gifts to men. But he went straight down in there, didn't he? Now that's love. Huh? That's love, to put your son on the cross. I don't think people know what that means, love, but we're going to show you today from the scriptures. Father, we need you, Lord Jesus. I pray you'd bless us. Holy Ghost, bear witness to this in the hearts of men. Help them to see this, your children to see this. Help us to take this with us and go and make war against the devil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 8. Verse number six, we can go back to verse number five. Even, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth. Whom the Lord loveth. He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Do you realize that this is an identifying mark of a child of God? Do you realize he is giving you this so he can show you this is the difference in the children of disobedience and my children? Why? Because I scourge my children. I chasten them. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Did you see that word every? Not just a select few. Not just some guys. Every son he receiveth. Amen. If ye endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Boy, this is just plain old common sense here, isn't it? Right there in front of you. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection of the Father of spirits and live? He goes on to explain chastening, but I'm not. That's part of this message. But that's not all of it. I'm gonna cover that a little bit. But God, number one, I want you to understand some things about God's love. All right. Number one, God's love is righteousness. Turn to Psalms chapter 11, verse number 7. God's love is righteousness. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. That's God's love. God loves righteousness. But the God that nobody hates, he loves sin. He accepts your sin. He's fine with it. He's okay with it. Psalm 146, verse 8. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. That's God's love. God loves righteousness. And God loves the righteous. We see here firsthand what the Lord loves. He loves righteousness. The first thing that God loves, he loves righteousness. Why? Because he is righteous. And all his other attributes flow from his righteousness. Because God is holy. And none of his attributes compromise his holiness. None of them. His love flows from his righteousness or rightness. If you want to use that term to explain it. The Bible says his countenance doth behold the upright, those that walk according to his righteousness, not those who walk in wickedness. Psalms 45, verse number 7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Thou lovest righteousness. God's love. God's love, he loves righteousness. And hatest wickedness. Remember, the God that nobody hates, he doesn't hate anything. The God that's preached in most pulpits today, he doesn't hate anything. Hate's such a strong term. You should be careful about using that. I had one preacher tell me that one time. Yeah, you're right, it is strong. It's all over the Bible, too. That's God's love. It's righteous. And he loves righteousness. And he hates wickedness. That might be something that a lot of people don't understand about God's love. So when they're out there saying, but that's God's love. God loves it. No, God hates wickedness. He loves righteousness. Number two. This will really make their eyeballs blow in the back of their head. Oh, they're gonna go crazy over this one. God's love is judgment. Turn to Psalm 37, verse number 28. God's love is judgment. Preach to us the love of God. Okay, I will. God's love is judgment. I'm going to preach you the love of God. God's love is judgment. How about this? Psalm 37, 28. For the Lord loveth judgment. Wait, judge not. Judge not. Stop judging. Wait a minute. My Bible says if I have God's love and if God loves Brother Paul, it says for the Lord loveth judgment. So you're trying to tell me what God's love is. I don't think you know what God. I don't think you understand what you say when you say that. Because God loves judgment. He loves that his saints judge rightly. He commanded it in his law that his saints judge righteous judgment. Because the Lord loveth judgment. And forsaketh not his saints. Uh-oh. We got some holiness brethren out there. By the way, if you listen to some of those holiness campus preachers, they ain't very holy. You be careful about listening to some of them perverts. They're a bunch of perverts. They go on and they try to put a show on for these kids. And they call themselves holiness preachers. And what comes out of their mouth is nothing more than verbal pornography. And they excite the passions and the lusts of these kids. They're not slaying those kids with the law. They're feeding their perversions. It's wicked. That's right, it's wicked. Guys like Jesse Morrell, Jim Giles, and a bunch of those guys. That's what they do. There you go, name and names, preacher. Yeah, I know. I don't have any problem with it. I don't care if it makes somebody mad. They say my name, I'm sure. Sure they love me. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. Hey, how about that? It says here that he forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The Lord loveth judgment. He loves it. So the next time somebody says to you, judge not, Brother Paul, you say, Psalm 37:28 says, for the Lord loveth judgment. So stop judging me while I judge you, while you judge me and I judge you. We're all judges. Judge, judge, judge. Judge, judge, judge. Right? I judge that you were judging me, that you judge me, and I judge you. We're all judges. Isaiah 61, verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment. Oh, there it is again. There's a second witness for you. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. There's that, you know, you just can't get away with that everlasting and that preserved. He forsaketh not his saints. The Lord is a God of judgment. He loves it. But he is a just judge, and the God of all the earth will do right. For he is a righteous and just judge. God's love is based off of truth and righteousness, not off feelings. You better in your homes as husbands, as wives, the law that is to be laid down is not the Father's law. It is the Father in heaven's law. And dad submits to the Father in heaven. Amen? As a husband, you submit to the Father in heaven, and you have an absolute law that you go by. Do you understand that? Yes, the husband is the head of the home and the head of the wife, and he's the leader. But his law must be God's law. Otherwise, you won't have any respect. Because the only thing you're basing off is your own human reasoning. If I tell my wife if I teach my wife that I'm the head of the home, but I don't show her out of God's word that I'm the head of the home and why I am, and that the law of God is what we appeal to, and our children understand we don't do this because it's against God's law. It's wicked. God hates it. It's not, well, I just don't like it. No, it's because it's wrong and God hates it. See what I mean? See the difference? One has power. The other one will teach a child to grow up and say, well, when I get my own house, I'll make my own rules. And I'll do my own thing. Well, you just blew it, parent, because you didn't show them God's absolute righteous law. But God's a judge. And God told us to judge. By the way, let me ask you a question. God's love is based off of truth and righteousness, not off feelings. It's not some whimsical, goofy Hollywood love. I mean, these people are preaching to you a God that has this goofy, well, really, they preach a God that's like a big fat fairy in heaven, there to grant you all your wishes. And he lives to make you happy. Yeah, he's like a perversion of Santa Claus. Just to make you happy. That's why he exists. To grant you wishes like a big genie in a bottle. That's what he's there for. No, God's love is not like that. God's love is judgment. Liberal Christians or carnal Christians or professors, they scream out, judge not. But the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 5:12, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Well, in order to do that, I have to make a judgment call. Right? I have to make a judgment call on what my children read. I have to make a judgment call on what church I go to. I have to make a judgment call on what my children wear for clothing. I have to make a judgment call on everything. Who lives in this fantasy world where nobody walks around and makes judgment? It's insane. It's foolishness. That's God's love. God's love is judgment. So except somebody says, hey, the Lord loveth righteous judgment. This is righteous judgment. You're evil and he's holy. I'm going to listen to him. Amen. Number three, God's love is chastening. God's love is chastening. Proverbs 3:11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. The Lord loves chastening. He loves us, so he chastens us. He correcteth who he loves. God does not correct Satan's children. He kills them. That makes sense? If Satan's children get in his way, he just kills them. He doesn't correct them. He kills them. You, he'll correct and correct and correct and correct until you won't receive it. And then there's a sin unto death. And I do not say you should pray for it. Let him go. What did Paul say to the man that was in adultery? He said, turn him over in the assemblies in fornication. He said, turn him over to the structure of his flesh. Then in the end, the soul will be saved. Let him go. Let the devil kill him. Take his flesh. He correcteth. But God corrects who he loves. God destroys the children of wrath, but he corrects his children. Hebrews 12:5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which was speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deals you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection of the Father's spirits and live? For verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, stop there for a second. Let me ask you a question. These people that run around making these professions of faith, they've never been changed. They live like the devil. They're fine with it. They're cool with it. It doesn't bother them. They're not, and God doesn't chasten them. You're trying to get me to believe that these people are saved and they're not being chastened of the Lord. God's not pulling his rod of correction out. God's not dealing with them at all. They're getting away with whatever they want to do, and they're living in the world, and they don't care. Well, my Bible says that he chasteth every son whom he receiveth. He scourgeth every son. You're trying to make my father in heaven out to be some kind of a lousy father that doesn't take care of his kids, that lets them run around and do whatever they want to do. You're making my father in heaven look like he's just some guy that is derelict in his duties, that he's not taking care of his children, that he doesn't place the rod of correction upon his children, that he doesn't correct his own. That's the real problem that people have with once saved, always saved. The real problem they have with that is they see this and they're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Well, what the problem is we have separated two doctrines that are together and cannot be separated. The doctrine of eternal life and the doctrine of the chastening of the Lord can never be separated. Those two are inseparable. If you have eternal life, you have a Father in heaven that will whip your hide. And if you don't have a Father in heaven that will whip your hide, and if he doesn't punish you, then are you bastards and not sons, and that's what the real problem is. We got a lot of bastards out there and they're not sons. Because he just says it. He says, hey, listen, if you're without correction, then, I mean, you're just a bastard running around. You got a bunch of bastards running around. Nobody wants to call them bastards, though. They want to call them all saved. They're all saved. The guy's a sodomite. I mean, he's one guy is a Buddhist. He was he got saved and he was on fire for God for a while, and then now he's a Buddhist. He says there is no, the God of the Bible is not real and all. Well, then he's not saved because his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. Right? That was called once prayed, always saved. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. Not at all. Why would I? It's not biblical. It sure makes a lot more sense when you see the doctrine of chastisement. That's where that's where these holiness preachers go off the rails. That's where they mess up. That's what they don't understand. Because, by the way, once you have a son, he's your son. He's never not your son. He'll always be your son. Do you understand that? When you're adopted in the family of God, you don't get adopted out of the family of God. Why would God, what you're telling me is that God can't handle you. Well, God, you were too much of a child for him and he couldn't handle you. So he just let you go. Really? You really believe that? Because that's what you're saying. What you're saying is, yeah, he sinned so much that God couldn't handle him, so he just let him go. God was like, you're leaving my house. I can't deal with you. I know everything, but not enough to deal with you. So I'm just going to let you go. Do you see the logic? No, that's the father and son relationship, okay? What you're saying is, well, I couldn't control him, so I let him go. You don't know God very well. And you are very ignorant. One of the problems with Arminianism and the holiness movement and those guys, one of the problems they have is they are ignorant of the nature of God. They have no clue of his attributes and who he is. They think salvation is them doing. That's their problem. They think it's up to them to keep themselves saved. So then you deny the father-son relationship. Well, see, you're not sons anymore. Oh, where does it say that? You're not sons. No, it doesn't say that. And God deals with his sons. You think God won't deal with his sons? Listen, God doesn't have a son out there that he can't deal with. His arm is not slack. It's not short. He will deal with his sons. Even to the point of crippling and death and jail and everything else, he'll deal with them. Understand that. But that's understanding the doctrine of, because you're trying to make God out to be someone else that he's not. Like a human father that fails. He doesn't fail. And he will deal with his children. By the way, go back to the story of the prodigal son. As he wandered far from home, as he was in the pig pen in the gutter, what happened to him? He remembered his father's house, didn't he? Was he still a son? Yeah, he's called the son, isn't he? He's still a son. God didn't call him something else, did he? Jesus didn't call him something else. He called him a son. God's love is chastening. God's love is that he will deal with you as with a son. So you're not going to be able to go out there and live wickedly and live in sin and smut and wickedness and God not chasing you if you're his. Problem is, we think everybody's his and they're not. God bears witness to his children who they are. See, these guys don't understand the chastening of the Lord. They don't get it. They don't get the father-son relationship. They don't understand it. God's not a deadbeat dad, okay? He knows how to deal with his children. But God's love is correction. It's correction. You can't live like the devil, live in wickedness and get away with it. When a man tells you that God loves everyone and he lives in wickedness, he's never been smarted by God with a rod of correction. He's a fool and knows nothing about the God of the Bible and needs to be quiet because his stupid is showing. God's love is correction. For those who bristle at God's correction, they do not love him or know anything of the love of God. I mean, they might get upset with him, yeah, but he's going to smart them for it. They're not going to get away with it. You don't get away with doing that to God. He's your father. You don't get away with living like that. There's correction involved. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And it's these people out here on the streets, and even Christians today that I see on Facebook and everywhere else, that they're professing Christians, and they bristle at this. They bristle at that teaching. They fight that. They fight that repentance. They don't like that. All lost people don't like it. Yeah, but these are saved people. No, they're not. They're lost. They hate repentance. They don't want to admit it. Why do they hate it? Because they're lost. You'd hate it too if you were lost. After you've been showed the truth. You may not understand the word repentance when you got saved, but the action took place. You didn't have to know a doctrinal dissertation on repentance to be saved. But you knew the action took place. It was clear. The Lord did something in you. He changed you. He made you a new creature. When preachers and Christians take the word and correct and reprove and rebuke and exhort, they get rejected. There's a reason they reject it, a very big reason. The Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. When these speak of the love of God, they never speak of a father who corrects his children. They don't want the correction of God. They say, oh, he's my dad and he's going to make sure I have a good vacation home. Right? But we're just not going to let him reign over us. We're just not going to let him rule over us. I'm not going to let him do that. I'm not going to let him rule over me like that. Yeah, right. They don't know what God's love is. Number four, God's love is rebuke. Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Boy, there's a lot of words in there. Love, rebuke, chasten, zealous, repent. Quite a few words, isn't it, brother? So then God is allowed to be God if he grants you eternal life and gets you a get out of hell free card. But when he calls into question your wicked behavior and sends his servants to preach, he's not loving you anymore. So are you a loving parent if you let your kids go out and run around and do whatever they want to do and don't correct them? And don't send their big brother down to get them and say, hey, go get your brother. Go get your brother and grab him and bring him home. So that's what street preachers do. That's what we do when we go out on the street. That's what pastors and preachers and those that love the word of God do. They go out on the streets and they try to proclaim. They say, listen, you got to go home, man. God sent me to tell you to go home. You're in sin. You need to get back to dad's house. You need to get right with God. You've got to get out of that pig pen and you got to get up. You got to walk away and you got to go back home. But he's not God anymore and he doesn't love anymore because he rebukes you. Also, he'd be a better father if he just let you live in hell. I'd be a better big brother if I just let you live in hell and didn't tell you about anything. You don't love somebody when you don't rebuke them. You don't love them. Pastors don't love people when they don't rebuke them. They don't love people when they don't rebuke them, when they don't reprove them. They don't love them. Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke. I blame them to their face. As many as I love. That's all. See, the problem is that you think everybody's saved, and Jesus says, no, I rebuke mine. As many as I love. You're wondering around, how can this guy be saved when he never has any repentance? He doesn't feel sorry for his sin? He doesn't care? Well, he's not. He's not. He has no work of the Holy Ghost. He's not convicted. He doesn't care. He's deceived. The devil's got him right where he wants him. Absolute deception. Do whatever he wants. That's why. That's why he doesn't care. That's why he's not convicted. That's why he doesn't bother him. Because Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke. As many as I love, I rebuke. I'll tell you what, if you're a child of God and you're doing wrong, God will send somebody by to let you know about it. Somewhere in your life, He'll send something by to let you know about it. He can find you anywhere. Amen? He can find you anywhere. You don't get away from God. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke. You get a rebuke from the craziest places. You can walk by, see something on a billboard, you can pick a piece of paper up and look at it and be like, oh man. What have I been doing? He'll use a child. He'll use anything. Because God's love is calling men to repentance. God's love is rebuking. What does He say His love is? He says, as many as I love, I rebuke. That's God's love, is rebuke. But you've got to preach the love of God. I am. I'm rebuking you. The next time somebody says that, you say that I am. I'm rebuking you. See? He says, as many as I love, I rebuke. So all the Christians that have they ought to wear t-shirts and say you're not doing it right. That's just what they should wear. Right? They ought to just wear t-shirts. Here, you want your sign, you're not doing it right? Hold it up. There you go. You're not doing it right. You're not doing it right. Sometimes I tease my street preaching friends and I'll go on Facebook and they'll post something about that and I'll be like, you're not doing it right. Just to play around. Because they're so used to hearing that phrase, right? You're not doing it right. You're not doing it right. There's always somebody going, you're not doing it right. Oh, well, how would you do it? Well, I got to go talk to my wife. Sure you do. You better go talk to her. Right? Not doing it right, ministries.com. You're not doing it right. This is your sign. You are not doing it right. Revelation 3:19 says, God's love is rebuke. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. God calls His people to be zealous. He calls them to repentance. That warm, that fire. Have a fire for me. Have a passion for me. Have a burning desire to fulfill my will. Because as many as I love, I rebuke. It's everybody He loves. So then, the lost will not understand this. The mere professor of religion will balk at this. But the believer will embrace it as truth. Rebuke is to blame to the face. So why do they reject God's love? We can ask them next. Why do you professing Christians on the street get mad and say God is love? And we say, yes, He is. And love is that's why I'm here to rebuke you. I'm here to rebuke you. Because you're living like hell. Because as many as I love, I rebuke. It's like love is just to let people go to hell today. Always say sweet things to them. Comfort them in their sin and wickedness. You really love them if you say nice things to them, let them get away with stuff. That's not love. That is hate. I'm so tired of parents watching them do that, pacifying their children's sin, letting them live in sin and commit sin around them and not say anything. That's not love. It's hate. It's the opposite. As many as I love, I rebuke. Look them right in their face and tell them what they're doing wrong. Point your finger at them and tell them you're going to do right or you ain't going to be here. Because that's love. And it don't matter if mom gets mad, dad gets mad, the dog catcher gets mad. Or the dog gets mad. Don't care. Tell them the truth. Live your life by this. And just be straight with it. You know why people are like this today? They're so wishy-washy. Because they don't live by anything. They try to take one or two little things out of the Bible. And that's it. And they don't live by it. And they wonder why their lives and their families, I don't understand why this happened to my family. Well, because you showed them that the Bible is not the absolute truth. No, we never said that to them. No, you lived it. You said it with your actions. You lived it, that it didn't matter. And then you went home, and if the preacher said something you didn't like, you made sure everybody knew about it at home. If you do that, you're in trouble. You're already in trouble if you're doing that. You're already teaching your children. You're already teaching your children not to respect the words of God, not to respect the preaching of God's word. You're already teaching them that. Now, you can teach them where you disagree on a few things, maybe, or the way you're going to do things in your home or something like that. That's fine. But if you're teaching that the Bible is not their authority, and if you're teaching them to only receive what they like, where's that come from? James 3:15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. That's what it is. Earthly, sensual, devilish. Hosea 14:1, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquities. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. Ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless find mercy. I will heal their backsliding, God said. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. He says, return to me. That's the God of the Bible that says to his wayward children, his chastened children, his children that are away from God. He says, return unto me. Return unto me. Backsliding children. Come back home. What is he doing? He's rebuking them. He's rebuking them. He's reproving them. And he's telling them to come home. Come back. Next, God's love is not found outside of Christ. You cannot find it. People are out there trying to give God's love to people outside of Jesus Christ. You got to preach on the love of God. I am. God's love is judgment. God's love is righteousness. God's love is rebuke. God's love is repentance. God's love is reproof. That's God's love. That's what he said. Now be zealous, therefore, and repent. And quit shaking your fist at God and your foolish pride, because you have no clue what you're talking about. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. They're already condemned. Tell him so. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. For the Father himself loveth you. John 16:27. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. So you see, Jesus Christ, love of God comes only through Jesus Christ. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Love is found in Christ. You don't get the love of God by going around Christ. You don't get the love of God by not receiving him as Lord and Savior. You don't get the love of God any other way. Well, preach us the love of God. I did. We are. As many as I love, I rebuke. You want me to preach to you the covenantal blessings of God when you're a lost sinner? I'm not going to preach to you the covenantal blessings of God. They're not yours. You don't belong to him. You're not his son. You don't get his covenantal blessings until you receive him, until he's forgiven your sins and cleansed you of unrighteousness. Why in the world would I ever preach to a bunch of lost, wicked, hell-bound sinners that scoff at God, that mock God, that laugh at him, that live in their own wickedness, that live a Romans 1 life, and you're telling me to go preach to them and go tell people? No, I'm not going to go tell them that. I'm not going to go tell the professing Christian either. Preach to us the love. Okay, this is the love of God. Judgment, righteousness, rebuke. Why is it today that we have a silly little giddy fondness love that we think God is the same way and that he's supposed to be that way and that's how you're supposed to deal with people, is give them this? Well, how's it worked out for you? How's the Billy Graham gospel worked out for you?
Your children are in adultery and fornication. They're living wicked lives. They're like a bunch of dogs in heat. They don't ever do right. They live for the devil. They worship false devils. They follow after wickedness. They listen to wicked music. They're fornicators. But hey, prophesy into this pleasant things, sweet things. Why? You don't deserve it. And you can't receive it. See, you want to hold one hand. They're spiritual bastards. You want to hold one hand with the devil in the world and one hand with God and think that they're going to walk in communion. But what fellowship hath light with darkness? What fellowship hath Christ with Belial? None. There is no fellowship and there can't be any. God will not walk with Satan. God will not walk with those that have never been changed, never been born again. And God's not going to show his love to those because his love is found in Christ and you've rejected him and you won't come to the light. See, you want us to make the light dim so you feel comfortable to walk in. That's what you want. But Christ says, what fellowship hath light with darkness? None. The law drags everything out into the light. And it all manifests that their deeds are evil. But you want us to make Jesus different. Make him a different Jesus. Change the definition of love. No, what you're asking for is mercy. Okay? Let me explain to you something about mercy. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. So when I'm preaching the law of God and you walk up and you start cursing me out and doing some really bad sign language and you hate the message, you're saying, give me grace. And God says, I don't give grace to the proud. I'll give you an example like I talked about on Wednesday. We'll be done here. Wednesday, there's a lady that basically pornography for Christ. That's a new ministry. She said she goes into gentlemen's clubs and they call them gentlemen's clubs. There's no gentleman in there. But they go into these clubs and then she goes in there and for Jesus and then shares her faith. And has made two adult movies. Sharing her faith. She ain't sharing faith. Yeah. But then somebody came on and got upset with me on a thread. And this, I said, this is what you call a whore. And they said to me that, well, Jesus didn't call them whores. It's all through the Bible he did. He didn't call the woman at the well that. I said the woman at the well wasn't whoring. She was on her face, humbled before the Lord. And said, Lord, no man. Master, sovereign ruler, Lord, no man doth condemn thee. Neither do I. Go and sin no more. He didn't say, hey, make a movie and promote me. This is the person that's a spiritual bastard right there. That's what that is. And then some lady gets on and says, well, I'll always stick up for those sin. Yeah. It's a good one. It's pretty accurate. But, they're always stuck in those, you know, sexual problems or whatever. And I said, no, this is a lady that is saying, I'm preaching Christ and using pornography to do it. This is a lady that is wholly perverting who Jesus Christ the Lord is and God the Father. And they thought I was really mean for saying that. I said, did you think I should call her a chaste virgin or what? Is that what I should have called her? That would have been better. By the way, did you know that you're supposed to teach your sons and your daughters what a whore is? Did you know that?
Oh, no, you thought you were supposed to keep it from them, right? You thought only Pastor Cooley is crazy enough to get up there and scream and use those kind of words. Oh, preacher, you're wrong. Don't preach so direct. Well, maybe if somebody preached direct to you, you wouldn't have gotten your sins that you got into. How about that? How about if somebody looked you dead in your eye and said, you're a stinking pervert that needs to repent? Maybe if some preacher did that, maybe you wouldn't have got stuck in your sin, huh? Maybe you wouldn't have to look back and say, look at my life. Because you know what? These are not going to be able to say that. They've been warned of the strange woman. By the way, you're supposed to warn your son of the strange woman. Proverbs chapter 7. Try reading the Bible sometime and not Joel Osteen's greatest philosophy for religion.
Amen.
You might then have an educated argument. But people, I had one guy leave here because he said, my wife doesn't like using those terms. I don't care. Go, because I'm going to keep using them, because I'm going to keep instructing. I'm going to keep teaching because I'm commanded to teach against that. I'm commanded to warn. And I'm not a dumb dog that doesn't bark. You may not like how I bark, but you get too close, you might get bit. Better warn your children about the strange woman unless they marry one. Or the strange man and they marry one. And then you'll come and you'll say, well, preacher, help us. We need help now. No, you needed help a long time ago. We got to get over this whole timidness about speaking straight Bible words. We're in such a society now that when you say things like, you got like one cop said to us, you know, well, somebody said you called him a whore and you can't do that. We were preaching. I said, well, somebody can say anything. She probably called herself one. I was like, well, first of all, we don't call people that, like just come out and say that to anybody. We don't do that. We don't know them. But you don't know what these people do in front of you either and call themselves that and make fun of it. I've watched them do it. So, but the point is that, you know, they want to say, well, you can't say certain things. You can't do so. Why? Because we live in a society now that wants to censor you. And churches are the same way. Oh, your children, they're not going to be able to handle it. Really? Wow. Read the law sometime. When God gathered all of Israel together, men, women, children, and he read it all to them. Way more graphic than I do. That doesn't hurt them. You know what hurts them? When you let them watch perverted things on television and it fills their mind with wickedness. And then when they hear something like this, it automatically dwells on the wickedness. That's why. When you put that idiot box, put them in front of that idiot box, and you let them watch that wickedness and that smut. And by the way, your children, if they haven't watched all that, they're not perverted. You know why it bothers you? Because your mind has been perverted. That's why. You've been defiled, and you have to live with that defilement. But warning somebody, that's not defiling. No, it's not defiling at all. It's commanded. In case you haven't figured it out, promiscuity and fornication is rampant. Yeah, I mean, you can't go to the grocery store without seeing naked people and naked magazines. So what do I do? Oh, don't talk about that. Yeah. Yeah, cry out. Preach against it. See, the problem is we want to veil everything. We want to cover everything. Don't veil it. Show them what the evil does. Show them the damning effects of wickedness and sin. So then there's no mystery for them. They're not mystified by it. I wonder what it's like to do that. I'll show you what it's like. You want to see what it's like? Let's go down to an AIDS ward and let's watch people die. Let's watch them like disintegrate in front of you. Let's watch lives destroyed. Let's go to prison and see where they end up and see how they end up. Because they ignored the warnings that they had. No, this is just real preaching that it hits the heart. That's what it is. And it's a warning. There's only two. You're this spiritual bastard, or you have God's love. You may hate God's love,
You may reject God's love, but don't profess that you're his and you hate what he has to say. Because his people receive his words because they're from him and they know it. They know the voice of the shepherd when they hear it. They follow him because they know his voice. But he that is not of us, John said, receiveth us not. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they were of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they didn't. Why? Because it was made manifest that they were not all of us. Father, thank you, Lord, for your words. Help them to stir our hearts to truth. Give us boldness in these end days. Help us, Lord. The devil hates us. The devil hates our children. Lord, bless the time of fellowship that we have. Bless the food to our bodies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.